Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and we're going to drink Neanderthal the beer.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And this week we are reading The Inheritors by William
Gibson. And we're the Drunk Guys.
Oh, and we're the Drunk Guys. We still are. Yeah. We're the drunk people, lowercase p. And we are reading The Inheritors by William Golding, and Nate, starting with a beer.
Oh, shit.
Use your hands.
Fucking spilled.
Quick, get a Mousterian tool to crack open that can.
So I don't have many options right now. So I am drinking Blackberry Cannibal by Other Half, because the Neanderthals, they could have been cannibals. We have so little evidence that, you know, it could have happened.
It's actually evidence that they defleshed their dead more than once, so it's not clear if that was ritualistic or cannibalistic. And there's some cave in Spain that I think there was like a, I'm not sure if it's Neanderthals or I think it is, that there were like a whole family of butchered ones found. So
delicious.
It's not clear if that was them
or
enemies. Wow,
this episode just got really dark.
Dude, I'm like deep into the Neanderthal stuff, so I've read a lot about them. Much like their tools, they rock. So this book came out in 1955. And was William Golding's second book, which he is one of the great one-hit wonders of literature, really. You know, 99.9% of people who have heard of William Golding, I would bet, would not be able to tell you a second William Golding book.
I couldn't until we did this.
And the people who could name this one will probably struggle for a third, even though he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature. So it's interesting. So I picked this because we realized we've run out of books to do, so we could pick books we just want to read.
It's been so long.
It's a new luxury. And I wanted to read this.
I used to love reading.
It used to be fun. So this fucking, you know, prison, like a Greek god has punished us. Like Prometheus here, just having to read every day. So I picked this because I did read it years ago, and I thought it was interesting, but William Golding said in some interview or something I read that this was his favorite of his books. And, of course, for anybody who has a one hit, like, you know, a huge hit, anything, whether that be song or book or movie or whatever, it's always the hip thing to be like, that's not my best work.
They can't just say, oh, my favorite one is the one that made me all that money.
Right,
they can't just say that.
It's not like the dudes in Aha, like, yeah, Take on Me. It was all downhill after that.
Hey,
like,
they had some other bangers, and they were very big in Norway.
Yeah, of course.
They
no
did a
way.
James Bond song.
Yeah, but like an 80s Bond song from one of
the Living
Timothy
Daylights
Dalton
is
movies
a classic.
But, you know, that's a right. Like anybody who's a one hit wonder has to say, no. It's like Afromance, like, Because I Got High was a strong offering, but it wasn't my greatest work. Like, they have to have this something else. So I wanted us to revisit it, or I wanted me to revisit it, and us to see why he may have asserted such a thing, or if this book has any merit or should be read at all, since that's our question we always come to at the end. But we'll get there later. So the book starts, it's kind of confusing as it's written. It definitely is a book that helps to know a little bit what's happening going in. But there's a group of people that we know or learn are Neanderthals. Pronunciation note, Neanderthal and Neanderthal are both correct, but one is more pedantic, and I will pick that one. And they are just kind of doing their thing, and they're kind of hippies, and they're kind of weird and psychic, and they have extended family. There's two old people, a handful of adults, a baby, and like a kindergartner or something like that. And I forget how old Liku is. And they all have dumb names. The old man is Mal. The old lady is Shifa. Oh, no, she doesn't even have a name.
She's the old woman.
She's just old woman. Then there's Ha, Nil, Lal, Lamau. No, there's Lok, Fa, and then Liku, and a baby who's just called
Rofel.
The new one, yeah. BRB and JK. Rolling, and
but you know, they I just want to drink this. I don't give a
yeah,
shit
do
anymore.
It.
They don't. It takes a while to understand what the fuck they're talking about because they don't. It's like a sci-fi book where they don't hold your hand. You're just like, I guess I'll understand what these words mean later. And they all have. They keep talking about like I have a picture in my head, and you're like, what the fuck does that mean? It's like, oh, they're just thinking about stuff.
They're picturing it in their head.
They picture in their heads. And sometimes you picture things in your heads when you're asleep, right? And that's like a dream. And they have dreams. And they believe they're the magic, I guess. So occasionally they find me dreaming. This is Find Me Dreaming from Mast Landing. And it's a West Coast IPA. And it's an untold number of booze. 6%-ish. And it's fine. You know, it's nice to have the West Coast back and not be just a arms race of hop. Just, you know, like old-timey IPAs before they started to be like, how can I hurt you?
I have a picture of that.
Yeah. I have a picture of it in my head.
That beer.
That's what they say about 4 billion times in this book.
Yep.
I have a picture in my head.
But he wrote that
it's
in words.
It's your mom, naked.
She is laying next to my fire in the cave. They do talk about their bush a lot, but it's like a thorn bush that they use as a tool.
Actual bush, yeah.
An actual bush. Not your mom's bush. That was a missed opportunity. So, you know, it just starts off and they're like doing their thing, wandering around and being, you know, it's like a glimpse into their world, which is fascinating to imagine what was it like because...
And you don't know that they're Neanderthals until like quite a while into the book. If you go in blind, which I did.
Yeah. Oh, well,
I think that's the way he meant it. I think he meant it so that for the first three quarters of the story, you're just like, oh yeah, these are just some people
primitive
Paleolithic people having some, you know, caveman problems. and then about half of the way through, you meet the others who are clearly more sophisticated, though still cavemen. Not that cavemen actually existed. We'll get into that. But anyway, but the other clearly hunter-gatherer type people who are clearly more sophisticated, and you're supposed to go, oh, those are the humans, and we've been reading all this time about the Neanderthals.
The losers. Those are the titular inheritors.
What?
But the inheritors. What do they inherit in the book?
The wind.
The land, Jimmy.
Oh, I thought they end up giving away the land because they're going to die. Oh, the new people are the inheritors, and they
give away, yeah.
I thought you were talking about the Neanderthals.
Who would be paying the estate tax, Jimmy? Just think of it that way.
I think you mean the death tax.
Death tax, Mike.
So, it started, there's
giving, you know, it to Big Cave.
So, a lot of stuff in the beginning. So
it's just a show
of what they're like. Two-thirds of the book.
It does not matter. Kind of one, you kind of are introduced to the characters a little bit and how they interact and...
How they interact with the world is, I think, why Golding has all that.
Which might have been accurate for how Neanderthals were thought of in the 1950s, but we now know is pretty inaccurate.
I mean, I don't know fuck all, I guess... So I don't tell me how
one
is
of
it?
The one of the main things is like there's a log that the group uses to like cross a river, but the log has like washed away and they're just completely at a loss. They're like, what the fuck are
it
we
makes them
out
to be stupider than they actually were.
Without this log here, we're fucked. And then the genius one,
the old one,
named the old one, no Maul,
the old man.
Old man is like, what if we get another log and put it there. And everyone's like, mind blown.
It's like the beginning of 2001 with the monkeys and the bones and shit.
Yeah. So, anyway,
but then he goes in the river to get it and fucking dies. And he gets like, you know.
Because there are no trees on land you could use. Definitely not.
Trees don't grow on the land in Neanderthal world.
It didn't say they weren't in a mangrove.
So this is where you get the concept of probably still what a lot of people think if they've never learned anything about it, of what Neanderthals are probably like, which is like they're kind of a lot like humans, just dumber. Which is, I mean, there's a reason why people thought that, although in reality there's very little evidence. There's just not a lot of evidence that exists from that long ago, so we kind of don't know. But yet we do know that they had larger brain volumes than humans. And I think probably now that there's been more time, more you know, artifacts have been unearthed that that show that they did have more culture and things like that. So we just kind of don't know. Now, I have a feeling, I mean, it was always assumed that Neanderthals must just be stupid because we're here, we're like, they're dead and we're not. And so therefore, in what we have, what do humans have? We have brains. So therefore, they must be stupid. That must be the problem, that they can't strategize, that they can't think abstractly. But really, we have no idea, and likely they could.
Well, we do know that we interbred with them, so they couldn't have been that different. I mean, now, the thing about Neanderthals is how you what you imagine about them says probably more about you than it says about them, right? Because, like, if you look at human interactions with Neanderthals and speculate, what were those like? Or guess what Neanderthal civilization or whatever society was like. Your guesses, are it's like a Rorschach test, right? So when people say, well, like some people take like a very misanthropic view and they're like, humans must have killed them. It's like, there's really no evidence of that. Or they'll say, maybe we, which is like a very like, you know, oh, you know, the kind of track that a lot of people take of humans are bad. We mess up the environment. They were probably these like hippies that were just like one with nature and we're awesome and we fucked it up like we fuck up everything.
Well, that imperialism thing was big for a while, so it's not that crazy.
It's not, but like imperialism, it's not like, I mean, you can be argued that... or would you say
people
like,
thought a lot about imperialism and the effect of imperialism that's in like the 1960s when a lot of this stuff was being considered and thought about, and so which shapes a lot of the way pop culture thinks about Neanderthals.
That's the zeitgeist. But it's not like that was something, you know, the idea of building international empires a la the British, it's not like the British were like, oh, this old chestnut blowing the dust off of those plans, like we've always done as a people. Like, oh, no, people do all sorts of fucking crazy shit. So it's the people who look at that and like, this is what humans have always done. Like, well, maybe, not really. You can't say that with certainty. And then there's the people who say, maybe we, then there's like the optimistic view. It's like, ah, maybe we just, we all fucked. And we fucked a lot. And just like, it was awesome. And like, everything was cool. And like, oh, that's probably
well,
pretty
they definitely
naive.
Fucked some.
They fucked a few times. But then even that, like people who look at that, then they, what they say is like, oh, you know, we have fucking no way of knowing. Was that a romantic relationship? Was it a sexual assault? Who fought? Was it conquest and people taken as property, a booty? We do not know. I mean, there was some booty involved, but we don't know what that was. But people guess, and that's just them filling it in with their own biases. So Golding is doing that too, of course.
I just finished a book called The Dawn of Humanity. It's a David Graeber book, and it's like, the history of human civilization. And it was about like how much of early civilization, like what we think about it, is just kind of made up based on what European historians thought in that time where they were coming up with how civilization came to be. Because there's really no evidence for a shitload of it. Or there's a lot of evidence that a lot of places weren't like the, you know, so-called progress towards, you know, modern day states. It doesn't exist, or they filled it in saying, well, this kind of is weird, so we're going to ignore that. But these ones, it kind of works this way, so therefore, blah, blah, blah.
Hayuk or whatever, that Turkish one?
I don't know. Maybe. They said a lot of words I don't remember. But there was like a, you know, a huge Native American city called Cuyahoga or something in like near St. Louis. Cahokia, yeah. I just think of Cuyahoga, but I think that's from Tommy Boy. But it's like, yeah, historians, especially the European ones that like the history we learn, a lot of it is just like, we don't think about it. Like how much of it is, yeah, it must've happened this way. And then 200 years later, it's like, yeah, that's how it happened. But because we're not fucking anthropologists or we're not digging up shit. We don't
know.
Well,
that's not, I mean, maybe what filters down to elementary school students and high school students.
Yeah.
But in the discipline of history, historians are always revising it. Otherwise, they'd be out of a fucking job.
Yeah.
So they're
we're changing it up again.
Well, because really, like, why would we need another book about Rome? Shouldn't we have them all by now? Yeah. Right?
They stopped roaming a while ago.
But like, seriously, right? Like, do we need another book about fucking Lincoln? Like, don't you know everything you need to? Like, no, because there's like the thing about history is that historians are the history. the books, the articles, essays produced by historians are a product of that historian's time as much as they're a product of whatever time they're writing.
It's impossible to develop it without the context of everything you already think.
Right. So, like, this book's written shortly in the midst of decolonializationing of Europe, of Africa and Asia and shit, but also right after World War II. And Golding, clearly between this and Lord of the Flies, has his mind made up about what human nature is.
Yeah.
Right? He's pretty down on people, right? Like,
He was a follower of Thomas Hobbes.
Yeah. Thomas Hobbes, who famously described life like an angry dwarf, nasty, brutish, and short. And we could say that. It's the holiday season, Nate.
Yeah.
Elves are dwarfs. Everyone knows that.
He's talking about Lord of the Rings dwarves.
Oh, yeah. They are pretty nasty, actually.
They can be a little gruff.
Unless you feed them a shit ton of pancakes. Anyway, like, that's a thing throughout the book. And in recent years, in the last, like, decade or so, as Neanderthal DNA has been sequenced, I think the guy, the Finnish guy who led that team, did he get a Nobel Prize for that? For they isolated
My knowledge of DNA. Genetic Nobel Prizes is pretty limited to zero.
I will find out, because I read his book, which was really cool, and then it had this one random, he won the Nobel Prize in 2022. Svante Paabo.
Like, why are there nine A's?
It's two A's, but each has an umlaut over it. I don't know what to do with that.
Doesn't that mean you have to pronounce each one individually, like Paabo?
Maybe. Fuck if I know.
I don't know. I don't know. Finnish is his own fucking thing. So,
but he wrote a book about the process of how they isolated the DNA, which is very interesting because it's not like what you think of from watching CSI.
They'll find
like,
some old cum in a cave. Yeah. Like, they go enhance.
Yeah, you mix it into a jar and then you shake it on your desk. And like, there it is. That's the culprit. No, they had to really be careful to isolate the Neanderthal DNA and not have it contaminated with human DNA because they look really similar. They're really close, like more than 99% the same. So how do you not, you know, they had to have all these clean room policies and whatever. But then it has this one random chapter at the end about how he's like a bisexual man. And you're like, cool, dude. Like, that's awesome. Is that what, I don't know what this means, but that okay.
Kind of odd in considering the context of the rest of the book.
It's very odd. Though there is a science fiction trilogy book. No, what was he trying to do?
He wanted to relate how he was extracting DNA on the regular.
I'm always thinking about DNA one way or another. There is Hominids by Robert J. Sawyer, a novel from 2002, and it won the Hugo and the Nebula, or it won the Hugo at least. The first book, which is about there's a parallel world where Neanderthals live, a parallel universe where the Neanderthals live and humans went extinct.
Helmets are much larger.
And then the worlds meet through science, and the main female character it's the only book I've read with an interspecies Neanderthal human fuck scene where she talks about sucking his Neanderthal dick.
And it also has a larger head.
But in that book, the Neanderthals were all bisexual. Maybe there's something to it.
What?
Yeah, it's a fucking wild series.
I read a book by...
We really hate The Inheritors. We'll talk about any other book we've read.
Kim Stanley Robertson. He writes like
2012.
Sci-fi. 2312
or something like
that? 2112 or whatever the fuck it was called.
Jump Street.
And it was mostly boring. It had some cool sci-fi stuff, but the plot was almost non-existent. But in that book, everybody has both a penis and a vagina. Because not everybody, but a lot of people do. They'll have one added on. And then when they bang, they like make like one of those like elaborate engineering gears where they kind of interlock like on a chain and they just kind of piston in and out of each other. It's like
Jimmy is doing hand signals.
Yeah, you guys need to see the hand gestures. It's like two C's cupping, but they're going. Yeah, it's
cunt and cock.
That's what I remember most about that book.
Well, Neanderthals probably only had one penis or one vagina, but...
You don't find the bones. How do you know?
They have found pretty complete skeletons of them.
But not penis
bones. They weren't bears. They didn't have a penis bone.
Yeah, so they could have had multiple penises.
Like an udder of dicks.
That's why they died out, because every time they were doing something, the rush of blood to both penises caused them to pass out.
We when Cro-Magnon man found them, we're like, they can't, no way, the women can't know about this. And we had to kill them all. So we'll talk more about Neanderthals, I'm sure. So the Neanderthals in the book are dumb. And I think the other thing that contributes to, besides what Nate said, that we're here and they're not, which, I mean, it's kind of hard to not count that, right? Is that they look dumb. like gone are the, you know, if you see that, that stupid, you know, much imitated picture of like the monkey and then like a bigger monkey and then like a guy with shitty posture and then man, you know, like that, that chronological thing. You'll
the
say.
Ascent of man.
Yeah. The Neanderthals are always like stooped right before, like they fucking, you know, pinheads in a 1930s sideshow or something. They look dumb because they have these big brow ridges, which make them look confused. They have fat faces.
They look closer to apes.
They're stumpier. They were short. They were usually a little shorter and much stockier. And, but you know, in a like a diesel way, you know, not, there were probably no obese Neanderthals. The food was too scarce. But they were just,
well, they largely bigger. Lived in colder climates than humans did in, you know, Central Africa. So colder climates lead to animals and presumably Neanderthals being just kind of thicker and stockier because then you have a higher or lower body mass to surface area ratio and it keeps in the heat a little bit better.
Which may have contributed to their demise, that they had a higher caloric need than the humans who came in about to Europe, like, what is it, 50, 60,000 years ago? And they were outcompeted. But they look dumb.
They just apparently,
have dumb faces.
One thing that I read once is that if humans were just like one, could reproduce like 1% better, like every generation was just 1% larger in comparison to the Neanderthals and like in terms of like how many, you know, children survived to adulthood and stuff like that. Even just after 10,000 years or 20,000 years, the number of humans just 1% better every year is going to just vastly outnumber the Neanderthals. And that's just 1%.
The power of compounding interest.
Well, that's the way populations work.
Populations work primarily based on the pounding interest.
Interest in pounding.
Yeah, that's important, at least for one person in the deal. The other person, sadly, historically, didn't always have a say. But whatever, they're not here. Again, this is like how you look at that is how your view of a lot of things is going to be shaped by the way you look at a lot of other things. So these characters, they're all dopey, and the old man, Mal, dies. And they have like a funeral for him, which is true. Neanderthals did leave evidence of burying their dead, which is one of those things that is like, considered pretty advanced because most animals, when they're one of them dies, the other ones are like, hey, are you going to eat that dead thing? And then they just eat it.
Are you going to eat that?
Yeah, like, oh, shit.
Dibs.
Animals actually do not eat their own kind. Some do, but a lot of them will not. That's why it's rare. It's like, this one's actually a cannibalistic species. It's like, oh, that one does fucking do that. Because you get mad cow disease, it's bad for you. Or mad whatever disease, that's how you get it.
So most species, you really can't, except in very rare circumstances, get diseases from other species, but you can get diseases from your own species. So it's just a lot less safe to eat your own kind, whatever species you happen to be.
That's why I flash freeze all of my human meat.
It's true. It kills the
Make
bacteria.
Sure you cook it to 165.
Oh, yeah. Nice and pink in the center.
What's that when you're having long pork? Long
pig.
What is that brain disease, like kuru or something like that? The thing you get from cannibalism?
Kuru is basically human mad cow disease.
Is it? I've heard rappers talk about similar things. Is it, if your money eats another money, is that how you have mad money? Y'all?
Yes.
Is that how that, Nate?
I feel it's like you know about black people. Pounding interest.
Pounding, right. The hose. Okay, so. We have gotten nowhere in the plot. They're very dumb.
There's no
the
plot.
Old man dies.
There's almost no plot.
But then, like, they're like, hey, I smell something weird. And it's like, who farted? And then they just walk around in the wilderness. And then they start to slowly disappear like it's a fucking horror movie. I forget which one is. It's like the smart one. Ha? See the smart one?
I don't remember.
But the smart guy dies. And Locke is left, right? And Locke's he's like, oh, fuck. Oh, no.
Ha's like their leader. Of sorts, and Locke is like, I guess I'm all that's left, because the only people left are like the old lady, someone else, and the kid, and a baby. And he's like the and last he's the last male or the hot oldest one. Male. The hot one, yes.
Which if you've ever seen like the you know, museum reproductions of Neanderthals, like it's hard to imagine any of them were hot.
That's our bias, just, you know.
It is, but it's clearly they didn't think they were that hot either because they didn't fuck enough to otherwise they'd be here.
I'm like, well, no, they had the little one, so you know, someone be fucking.
Infant mortality for Paleolithic people must have been outrageous. Just
probably not great.
Yep.
So then they slowly disappear, and you learn like more shit. Like they have a weird worldview where they don't eat meat unless it's scavenged, and the women have like a weird religious job, and the men do all the like leading stuff.
The men hunt, and the women have visions.
And they worship a goddess called Oa, which is the Proto-Indo-European root for the word Hoa, which is what your mother is.
When she's in Boston.
Yes, yes, of course.
Mother's a Hoa.
A Hoa. Hoa. So,
wicked nasty.
Oh, that's... So then they that goes on for a while, and eventually they find that there are other things. And they're other people. And they're like, what the fuck is that about? And that's when you're like, oh my God, that's us.
But different. They got a bone, they could call them bone faces, because I guess Neanderthals had hairy faces.
I mean, again, like how Paleolithic people adorned themselves is not really clear. There's just some article recently in New Scientist, or one of those pop science magazines, about how the use, like how art, meaning like, graphically doing something with a burnt piece of charcoal may be a half a million year old or even older activity by hominids. But it's not clear what these things would have been used for. Like cave paintings, maybe they're like 40,000 years old, the oldest cave paintings. But they might have been used to mark their bodies. How did they, you know, did they cut their hair? Did they braid it? Were they just like cousin it? Like what? How did they, you know, all these things. So they how they dress themselves is always something where people get to have pretty much complete creative license with.
So in every museum, they're just dicks out all the time.
I mean, Neanderthals, even if they were stockier and better adapting to the cold, they still must have had to wear clothing of some sort in the winter.
You'd think so, yeah.
You let your winter coat grow in.
Though by that, by the time of Neanderthals, like body hair had largely disappeared from the surviving hominids.
Everyone
I think.
But the Greeks.
Even the Greeks, like fur had disappeared. Because I think there's something
let's make a comeback.
Well, I think there's like they've done studies on the like molecular clock or whatever to try to see when things diverge, and they can kind of estimate when pubic lice and head lice diverged from each other, like when the inter head pube, you know,
the trail to
super highway was diminished. They couldn't just have free reign. They had to specialize. And imagine being the ones like, I'm going to pick balls. That's the safe bet, Snorklax. You know that.
Well, it spreads easier.
But the ones on the head, like, I just feel like I won't get covered in dingleberries up here. So they were probably not furry. Though some studies have suggested that Neanderthals were gingers, which is why they died out. God hated them.
No one wanted to fuck them.
There you go. Oh, gross. So eventually there's only a handful of them left. And I forget the details here, and you guys could talk.
Okay, so after a while, they like meet the humans. They start dying one by one, which is kind of like the humans must be killing them. And then the humans kidnap the children. They kidnap Loki? No, what was the girl's name?
Liku.
Liku. Close enough. Liku. And... the new one, can I say, reading this, because the baby is just called the new one, at least twice while I was reading it, I would like, wait, another one? Where'd they come from? Oh, right. and the new one. Wait, where'd they, where, what?
Reading that, I thought it was, you know, probably one of those things, like, oh, they don't name them until a certain ceremony kind of ideas.
Or they forgot.
I don't think they forgot. I mean, they had nothing else to do.
It was a joke. Neanderthals are stupid joke.
Oh, I got you.
So anyway, so they kidnap the children. And so Locke and Fa.
It's a metaphor because he's one. John Locke, who did philosophy, and I don't know what it was about, but I'm assuming it's a metaphor.
He's like, we have the divine rights of Neanderthals.
No, no.
Life, he was liberty, and caves.
Yeah, he was the natural rights guy. Anyway, so they lock and follow the humans and are going to go rescue them. Except what they do is they just wait and watch for like 3 or 4 chapters. They just like watch them for the longest time, where pretty much nothing happens except because the narrator is narrating in Locke's voice because he's him watching it. But yet Locke, the way it works out is they're narrating what the humans are doing, but without an understanding of what the humans are doing and without many words to describe it. So it's just described in this very strange way. And it goes on for a very long time. And you can kind of tell, oh, yeah, they're fighting. Oh, yeah, they're fucking. Oh, yeah, they're just, like, doing this shit over here. Oh, yeah, that one's going to sleep. And it's kind of like, I think they get drunk at one point.
They find, like, their humans have, you know,
their made pot still.
Yeah, they've made booze, and they drink that. But they don't really, they're like, the trees are fucking moving. Holy crap. And then they're like, that's an adventure. This is like that classic social studies thing your teacher makes you read, the Nacirema, the body ritual of the Nacirema.
I don't know this.
I am familiar with this, yes.
It is a thing where it's written up like an anthropology essay. Like, these are very fascinating people, and I have documented their practices. Mm. And as you read it...
Is that the one all about teeth?
There's a big thing about teeth, and they go into like the special shrine room or some shit where it's private and no one can go in with them. And they have, they stick a brush of hog hairs in their mouth until they foam at the mouth. And then they like do all the weird shit. And then you're like, oh, it's people. It's like Americans, because Nacirema is American backwards. Spoiler. And then, you know, like, another part is they go to the doctor, and the doctor gives, you know, checks them for demons or some shit and gives them a piece of paper that they can't read.
I mean, until recently, that was what doctors were checking.
It was what they did, yeah. And then they take that paper to a man who can read it, and he gives them, he makes the potion. And it's like, oh, it's a pharmacist and shit.
There was a weird 90s movie called Mating Habits of the Earthbound Human, and it was David Hyde Pierce narrating like a rom-com as though it was a nature documentary.
That sounds familiar, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb, but it was funny.
So then what happens, Nate?
So they go and Locke and Fa hatch this plan that when the humans are sleeping, they're going to go and kidnap, they get their kids back, the new one and Liku. But yet it doesn't work because they're dumb Neanderthals and they can't pull off a plan. They can't strategize. I mean, even, and so it doesn't work. And then Fa disappears. Maybe she's dead. And then Locke kind of gives up. And then the perspective for the final chapter switches from the Neanderthals to the humans. And the humans are like, fuck those guys. Like, thank God. And they're also like afraid of them. They're like afraid of the Neanderthals. Like, those are the...
They think they're forest
the
monsters.
Tree and mountain people. We'll stick to the rivers and the lakes that we're used to. No, it's the, it's literally like, we'll stick to the plains and the water. That's literally what they said.
And then they kill Locke, right? That's how it ends.
They just leave.
They just leave.
Doesn't
yeah.
Locke die? Did I misread that? Was I like skimming too hard?
I think, I mean, it just switches from his perspective as he like sits there and then.
I don't think he dies, but he's alone.
Yeah,
he's
gonna die.
He's just alone.
But is he, hold on. Oh wait, because the devil. They all have names though, like that sound like their whole islands in the Pacific.
Yeah. Oh, good. The another PT. 14 names I need to learn. Oh, it's one chapter. It's over.
I did highlight this one line in that chapter of there were they were an answer. The frightened, angry love of the woman, and the ridiculous, intimidating rump that was wagging at her head. I was like, what is that position? I guess they leave him alone there. I thought he died. I misread it.
Well, he will die because he's alone now.
And he can't even have a vision of food. Is there
a picture in my head of berries. Chocolate berry. Yeah, then it just kind of ends and you're like, okay, I've read this book now.
I think it's I have argued that these kind of books are stupid. But it's one of those books where it's like, what they didn't say that you have to read to like get what he's going for. And the gimmick maybe works a little bit better in this because it's like these other people who can't speak today because they are old, you know, dead. But like, what was that like? And it must have been fucking wild. Like, because Neanderthals lived in Europe and Western Asia, right? So, in like the Middle East. So they're in like fucking Georgia by themselves for, or not by themselves actually, but like, you know, the dominant
400,000 years.
And then all of a sudden these whippersnappers from Ethiopia show up and they are...
There goes the neighborhood.
Close enough. Wow. And I didn't know. I didn't say the Neanderthals were racist. Like, oh, fuck, the Africans have moved in. My cave value is going to plummet. It must have been an interesting culture shock thing.
Yeah, it was like, you know, what they didn't say. But I thought it was a cool idea. Like, the idea of the book was interesting. I just thought 7/8 of it was fucking boring.
It is a slow, boring kind of book, for sure.
Nothing happens almost until the end, and then it ends.
Every character has an incredibly generic name that sounds almost like every other character.
And all the characters are the fucking same anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they don't really get many distinguishing features.
It's just there's an old one and a young one and an older one and a younger one, and one's got a penis that goes to the left or something. I don't know. But it's like, if the first 7/8 of the book had been the first quarter of the book, that would have, you know, I get it. I understand the gimmick now. What's the story? And then the story happens and it's over right away. And you're like, well, why? This is like this book is 9/10 prologue.
I think part of his thing there was to show what was this other Edenic world like before humans came in and were terrible.
Yeah, I get that. It was just
so he wanted
boring.
To build. He wanted to do, as they call it in the sci-fi fantasy world building. Right? He wants to put all that in there.
And he made the same mistake as 2112, where it was like the world building was, you know, a big part of it, but there's no fucking plot.
It should have been a short story. It has enough plot for a short story. Could have gotten the same story across,
yeah,
the same point across about, oh, that, you know, actually would have been perfect for a short story because the twist at the end would have been, oh, those new people are humans and these are Neanderthals.
That would have been a fucking Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, it could have been. And I didn't think it was by any means a bad idea. It's just the pacing was fucking bizarre.
It is unique. I don't know of any other book that's written from the perspective of Neanderthals, so there is that, but it is very slow.
So, you know, the question, who should read it? I certainly wouldn't recommend this casually. I wouldn't be like, did you like Lord of the Flies? Because this is nothing like it.
Because when I first started this, I did not know what it was going in. I thought, like, oh, it's another fucking book about, like, some band of surviving people out in the wilderness. And it was like, oh, they're Neanderthals. Okay, cool. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to say he has a gimmick because I've only read two of his books, but it was a similar. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, living out in the wilderness and something bad's happening.
Yeah, it's definitely.
But I don't know what his other bodies.
I mean,
work
he wrote this. Like, I don't know if Lord of the Flies had even been published yet, or it had just been published. It was like he wrote this really, really quickly. He wrote this in a month. He churned it out, and his editor was like, yeah, that's done, man. Print it.
What is it, like 100 pages?
No, it's a couple hundred pages.
Is it really?
Turned into 33 pages.
It felt like 1,000.
It definitely did feel long. But he was going through a thing there of trying to understand human nature.
Did he just fight in World War One or World War Two or something?
He did do something in World War Two. He was in the Navy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would break you of your, you know, thinking humans are good.
I mean, when you just saw 100 million people, upwards of 100 million people die for no good goddamn reason. It's after they did, after 10 million died of, you know, before, I think he missed that. I mean, he was a child during World War One, so that's a rough time to grow up. yeah. in England.
Every 20 years, the world is about to end.
So this is a helpful thing. Like if you're writing a paper on William Golding's philosophy or whatever, and you want to bolster it, you're looking for something for your dissertation. You would read about, you know, compare this in Lord of the Flies and other philosophers and shit like that. But to just read it, I don't think anyone should just read it.
The publisher didn't want to even release it in America because Lord of the Flies was like starting to sell, and they were like, let's not confuse them with this second book because it was going to be boring, and then people would go, ooh, no. The books were more boring back then. That's in the mid-1950s.
People did have a different sense of pacing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like old movies are different. It's cultural, but I feel like Lord of the Flies, like, we read that on this, and I hadn't read it since I was a kid, and, you know, that book was a banger. And things happened.
Everything
this was
happened
like,
in that book.
It's a good idea, but fucking nothing happens the amount of world building he does could have been one quarter the length. Like, it's not like he went in depth on a lot of it. It was just like the same, and then he wandered around, and then they found a shrub, and then there was a picture of a shrub in her head. And I was like, okay.
And he pictured her bush. They really do talk a lot about bush, which made me laugh a lot.
Well, every female character, every time a female character was mentioned, it mentioned her breasts.
Oh, yeah. That was my first note was like, there's way too much talk about like what their breasts are doing while they move or where their breasts are or how their breasts are. It's like every like creep fantasy novel where it's like, she's wearing a shirt. Underneath, her breasts were small and pert. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Well, man, he's writing about human nature and how the Neanderthals were sweet, peaceful, loving hippies with their titties out. It must have looked like a better world to him. Besides, repressed 1954 England. It's like, God damn it, they had it right.
It's a very repressed society.
I mean, it's before rock and roll was invented. It's like, they're just sitting around listening to, you know, ballads about a burrito killing Irish people or something, and then with no titties out.
Like, no titties. They weren't allowed out. Time in the olden times when they eat dead animals they find, but your titties are out.
And the women are dedicating to hoeing, the root word for, you know, hoeing. A woman's place is to hoe. All right, so I guess you guys are saying no one should read it either.
I don't think anyone needs to read this.
It's kind of also, it's inaccurate the way, or at least it's inaccurate in terms of what scientists kind of think Neanderthals are actually like. I mean, it might have been accurate for the 1950s, but it no longer is. And so,
which would have been its only redeeming characteristic.
Bother. I mean, unless you're specifically studying how people thought of Neanderthals or other humans or early humans.
Or why people's second book is sometimes worse.
Well, you could just do a whole month of that. You should just do like the one-hit wonders follow-ups.
That could be a poll.
Like, let's read that book Nabokov did after the kid fucking book.
I don't want to read many of those.
There are, I really want to read his other book. I know a third book of his. Third book is called Rites of Passage, and it won the Booker in 1980. Which was
1980?
Whoa.
Yeah, which was a crazy year because it was like, people back then, I think, they only announced the shortlist, so it was really only five books up or so. But one of the other books was by Anthony Burgess, the guy who wrote Clockwork Orange. It was like, holy shit, these two one-hit wonder guys have a book. Which old fucker is going to win? And then Rites of Passage won.
Yeah.
And he won the Nobel Prize 2 or 3 years later. So
it must be decent. It's got to be better than this.
You never know. We'll find out one day.
You never know who's going to get one.
But in the meantime,
tell us what you thought. Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter at drunkguysbc.
Or go to Facebook and Instagram at drunkguysbookclub.
We never mentioned the Patreon, but you could, if you have something you don't want anyone to inherit, you could send it to us at Patreon at drunkguysbookclub or whatever.
Put us in your will.
And check out the Hop Tub Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.